When the Taliban retook control of Afghanistan in August of 2021, they sought to reassure Afghans and the international community that the rights of women and girls would be respected and that they would remain active members of Afghan society. Nearly a year and a half later, however, the situation for women in the country is dire. The Taliban have effectively barred women and girls from secondary schools and universities. They've restricted their employment, and they've even altogether banned their presence in many public spaces. So what does this mean for the future of Afghanistan? And is there any hope in sight for Afghan women? Joining me to help answer that question is Adela Raj. She's former Afghan ambassador to the United States and current director of Princeton University's Afghanistan Policy Lab. Adela, thank you so much for joining us on Upfront. You're currently in communication with women in the country. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us a little bit about what life is like for mm-hmm. Afghan women at the moment?
Thank you for raising this really important and critical question for women of Afghanistan, for all those who live inside the country. And as you said, in the dire situation, it truly is. It's dark, it's gray, it's difficult. It's almost everybody is trying to grasp to something that gives them hope, and that hope is getting eliminated on a daily basis. And imagine a society where for women, education was the window of opportunity, growth, space, freedom, prosperity, and that window is shut at this moment. And I want to put myself in the shoes of those women and those young girls, which for me personally, it wasn't too long ago in my life, 25 years ago, when I was first, when I was in Afghanistan and Taliban for the first time came to power, I was among one of those women and those young girls where my window of hope was shut. And I couldn't think of a brighter day. And I wanted to...
When you say it was shut, you mean were you denied access to public space, to school?
Yes, exactly, exactly. There was no space for women as public that we could go. We had to be always, whenever we were outside, we had to have one of our male family member. And I come from a family where I have three younger brothers. So that was pretty hard. And I also come from a family where education truly mattered, like too many Afghan families. And growing up one morning, waking up when your schools are closed and you're told to stay at home, I just simply couldn't process it. And I always tell people the story that as a Muslim, we have a prayer of tahajjud when we wake up in the middle of the night and we pray. And we feel that's when your prayers will be accepted the most. And I remember myself waking up quite a few nights and praying and asking for a miracle for the schools to open up.
Right now, we're seeing a very similar situation, mm-hmm. right? Taliban has effectively banned girls mm-hmm. and women from attending secondary schools, mm-hmm. also from attending universities.
Yes.
Now, you are in conversation with people on the ground there.
Yes, yes. From most of the work that we're doing at the Afghanistan Policy Lab, an important element of our work is to be engaged with people who are inside the country, with women inside the country. Because I always say, regardless of how much we try to make sure that we could reflect what life for them is, but it's extremely important to have their true voice. And through those conversations, whenever we have had with a woman in the country, as I mentioned earlier, that element of hope is dying. Mm-hmm. It's for, especially for those women who are the breadwinners for their households when they are asked not to go to work anymore. For those young girls where, as I said, school was where they could see freedom in future, and it's not there anymore. For those young girls who are going to the university and they just were in last year of their university and just getting in touch with them and hearing their stories that they don't know when next time they can go back to the university, that's painful.
How much of that dissipating hope is connected to the fact that there was a promise mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. women would have access mm-hmm. to these things, mm-hmm. that it wouldn't be mm-hmm. like before? Mm-hmm. And now it's shifted very quickly. Is that a big part of this as well, the kind of pivot?
It is. But frankly speaking, with a lot of Afghans, even then, if you would have spoken, especially with women, I think there was an element of pragmatism and realism. Because we had not forgotten when, for the first time, Taliban were in power. They had banned the schools and women from public spaces and working outside. So there was somehow that element of nightmare. Everybody was waiting, it will arrive, and they will go in that direction. It was just a matter of time. I think there was that element of hope, still hoping that maybe they won't, but they did. So it's now expecting that they may ever change their mind. I think that probably may not happen, because just from the sake of who they are and how what they believe and what they have been saying, even we even initially when they talked about girls' school, if we look at every formal statement at the time that came out, not individual positions that some of their members had expressed, but the formal statements as a group that was released at the time, in each single statement, their language was the same. It had not changed. They said they will allow girls to go to school based on Islamic Sharia. And even now when they have banned the schools, they have not said that women are not allowed to go to school. They say women are not, cannot go to school for the time being until they prepare the right space for them. And we know, as Afghan women...
So the pretext is safety?
Yes.
Or security?
Not really. I think for them, when you go with a level of deeper conversation, they assume to create a more Islamic environment for them at school. And which, for us, we know that's a way for them to say, no, we're not going to open up schools. Because they did the exact same thing 25 years ago. They used the same language that they are using today.
One of the things we're seeing now is resistance. We see women taking to the streets in protest. We see men even. We see male students who are walking out of their final exams at university. I mean, these are sort of extraordinary developments. Is this a sign that things won't go back to the 90s, that things are moving in a different direction, or at least people won't stand for it?
Look, that's exactly for many of us hope is. It is the people of Afghanistan. It is the society that believes in prosperity, in education, in wisdom, in knowledge. And that comes both from men and women. And especially the last 20 years, the level of investment, the level of education that had changed in Afghanistan, the growth that has happened, it's people are there. People have not left. They still live in Afghanistan. And even now, a lot of families are trying to find ways. We had a conversation last night with my brothers, and it was exactly around the education area, that how each single family inside the country are still trying and knocking every single door to find a way for their daughters to go and study. And that comes to the brothers as well. And that was a sign, as you saw, with university students and Jalalabad and Kandahar and in Kabul as well, when they walked away, when the regime said that women cannot take or cannot come to take the exam and cannot come to the classroom. That was their way of revolt. And today's women's demonstration on the street too, I always say that requires courage, that requires bravery, that requires ability and strength to be still able to come and say no to an authority that doesn't believe in education of women, and women are not giving up. The society is not giving up.
Before you go, you know, when you think about what the next year or two will look like, what's your forecast for the people of Afghanistan?
Look, the forecast, especially if we start with the Taliban, I don't think so. We should expect any that they may change their mind and start to make the right decision. There is no prediction, there is no even statistics probability that why we should even put our thinking in that direction, that they will change their thinking. So it's almost like buckle up and prepare for the worst. And in terms of the overall environment, it's hard. It's very difficult. I think there are days I sit back and I'm trying to find an element of hope for myself to move forward. And it's very, very difficult. But then I look into very small stories, the stories of individuals who are inside the country, and I know some of them, and some of them are my own cousin, who run homeschools right now. Young girls have came out to run homeschools and teach neighborhood kids, young girls. And to me, say, look, that element of resistance within Afghans is still there, and we will continue to have that resistance. And in order to make life bearable and accept feasible in a way that that utilize what we have in front of us. But I think my takeaway is it's almost buckling up for difficult days, but we should not disengage with Afghan people. I have to be very clear. I think engaging with Taliban is a different argument, and I'm very
strong. But definitely the people.
The people.
That makes complete sense. Adela Ross, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Everyone, that is our show. Up Front, we'll be back next week.